Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern. Presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.
Blues, it happens every night, and I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine. The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind, so I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care, no. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Oh! Budgets live, not so live from the low budget live. Bar and Grill in beautiful southern Middle Tennessee, and this is the podcast for Monday, July the 24th, 2023. You bunch of low-lifers, low-lifing son of a guns. Appreciate each and every one of you tuning in week out. There's been a bunch of people peeking through the blinds the last few weeks here, without a doubt, with all the crazy Cayuga controversy, but we're not going to talk about that this week. Very little anyways. We'll get to it. Some fine details on it, but I'm over it. I don't feel like anything's going to happen other than what happened to Spencer Sheffield, and we're moving on to positive things this week. That's kind of been the theme of my week, man. Positivity in a world of that's kind of corporate crazy in my life, in my day job, and it's like a Category 5 hurricane at times. And this week, I got to go up to Chicago for some work stuff. And while I was there, and this is something I used to do a lot when I was younger and traveling for business, was stop and smell the roses. Enjoy where you're at. Go check out some things you wouldn't ordinarily get to do. And that's what I did this week. I was in Chicago. I got to go to Wrigley Field, man. Wrigley Field for the old Cubbies versus Nationals game. I'm a Braves fan, you know. My granddaddy's rolling out, my daddy Richard, rolling over in his grave. Then I went to a Cubs game and enjoyed it. Enjoyed the heck out of it, man. Such a cool atmosphere. If you've ever been to Wrigley, and so many folks that saw a post that I was there on social reached out, like, how incredible is it? It is. It is absolutely fantastic. Such a great, great place. And, yeah, man, got to go with some good friends of mine and experience that firsthand. And it reminded me a little bit, don't shoot the messenger on this, but it reminded me of like an SEC football atmosphere. It did. It's very cool. Now, not to say the Braves, I went back, going back to like Turner Field, Fulton County Stadium, even when I was a kid. Braves have a great atmosphere, but man, it was really, really fun. They won. Got to do the celebration, just singing the Cubs song in the crowd. It was fun, man. It was a good time. And then so I left from there after eating all the Chicago dogs that I could eat because I'm working on my dad bod. Then I went up to Appleton, Wisconsin for the NPFL. NPFL Studios up there with Fatty Cat Newton. And we got to do some extracurricular good times while we were there as well. Our boys, Cody Cannon and crew from Whiskey Myers, were playing with Brent Cobb, a guy I think the world of. super fan of. We're playing just down the road, and I say just down the road, about an hour and 40 minutes. Not too far. No step for a stepper. I twisted Fat Cat's arm into going down there and seeing Whiskey Myers. He had never seen him. He's a big Whiskey Myers guy, and I'm like, dude, we got to go. So after we had been up and in the studio since 5 a.m., we left out. We drove down to Milwaukee. We went and hung with that crew down there, and Cody Cannon, his tour manager, Chris, they took fantastic care of us, as always. It's a great time, great hang, great show. Very cool to see them on the run their own. And I've been fortunate to go see them a couple times. And look, I say it all the time. Y'all know I'm a music nut, songwriting nut. If you are frustrated with what you hear on the radio, or if you're looking for new music, there's no shortage of music that's not being shoved in your face that's out there, right? Whether that be my boys, the Turnpike Troubadours, Whiskey Myers, guys like Brent Cobb, Mike and the Moon Pies, Coulter Wall, Tyler Childers. It's out there. It's out there. And so many more. Too many more tonight. The Steel Woods, for the love of God. Aaron Raytier. Go listen to some of this music. It's out there. It's fantastic. And in a world where everybody's mad at Jason Aldean for singing some dumb song that four other people wrote, and they're trying to cancel him, it's the number one song in the country. You don't have to listen to Jason Aldean. You don't. And for the record, I understand what they were trying to say in that song. I get it. People are really offended by it. I'm just offended that Jason Aldean still has a record deal. I've just never been a Jason Aldean. Country, she's country, shoot. And people love it, dude. He's huge. He's bigger than anything I'll ever be in the world. That's fine. But the dude doesn't write his own tunes. And his little leather strap bracelets have always gotten on my nerves. So to each their own, man. Like what you like. But no, dude, that has been in my news feed on everything. That and the fact that Miranda Lambert was like, y'all can't take selfies at my show. Can't take no pictures. I'm up here singing. You better look at me. Just getting smashed in the media. I think that's amazing. If I'm paying $70 and I want to take a damn selfie, I'm going to take it. You know, I'm going to take it for the gram. For the gram. But such a fun week, man. It was mostly the biggest part of the last 2 weeks on the road away from the fam, but had some good times mixed in there with the work. And of course, I mean, work, right? When you're talking about being in the MPFL Live Studios with Fat Cat, it's a long day, but it's so much fun getting to do that. I'm so grateful for that opportunity. I'm also grateful for the sponsors that make this all possible. We're going to run through them real fast, like StarTrine, StarBright, StarTrine kicking ethanol in the teeth, StarBright keeping you looking clean during StarBright season. That's a thing now. Who knew? You can clean your boat and truck. If somebody would like to come do that for me, then mine might be clean for once. StarTron, though, kicking ethanol in the teeth, making sure you have zero ethanol hanging around that outboard engine. Nobody wants an outboard engine that won't run because of stupid dumb ethanol. Keep some StarTron with you. Put it in the tank. Get rid of it. StarTron bringing you LBL for many, many years now. ProGuide Batteries, ProGuideBatteries.com. LBL10 is the code, LBL10. If you want to save some cash there, ProGuideBatteries.com, their new lithium selection. Absolutely fantastic. These guys have been in the battery business for many, many years, over 30 plus years. They service multiple OEM boat manufacturers, which is a tough badge to actually get put on your shirt there. Trust me. They make you jump through hoops. The Pro Guy boys do it very, very well with great quality products, great folks behind them. You can use code LBL10 there, ProGuyBatteries.com. Baitworks, bait-works.com, bait-works.com, the one and only place right now you will find the LOB jig designed by yours truly. Custom trocar hook, power finesse jig, finer than frog hair skirt material. Go get them still. Go get them. Oh, man, that one got stuck. Look at this. I don't know how well you can see that. Oh, juicy. If only I could go bass fishing. I could go throw an LOB jig myself. And I know most of y'all feel that right now. Also, it's July in the South. It's like 3,000 degrees. The LOB, 7 colors available. Go get them at bait-works.com. Everything else on their site, Duncan-10, will save you cash. Don't order it if you don't want it because they're going to come and drop it off at your door. Baitworks.com. We appreciate the folks from Baitworks supporting LBL. they got all them flatworms in stock too, which I've watched guys just massacre smallmouth on. So if you're going up north, they got them in stock. All the freaking flatworms. I don't know why that became a thing. It's like throwing live bait at this point. And last but not least, hang the daggum banner. Some of y'all think that banner's crooked. I would argue that maybe the camera's crooked. Maybe I'm crooked. Who knows? Maybe I'm a little lopsided. Who knows? Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas. The X21 Pro LE, that's what I'm running this year. C-Deck Battle Siren, best hole shot in the game. 250 Yamaha Show attached to the back, blasting that bad boy down the lake. Amazing tackle storage. 96-inch beam. Super stable fishing platform. Can't beat it. The X19 is a fantastic option if you don't want the 21-footer. Maybe it won't fit in your garage. Get that X19 Pro. All the creature comforts of the 21 in a smaller size. They got that H17. So many different options there at Express Boats, from the bay boats. Even got the Veranda pontoon line. Go check them out at expressboats.com. You can find a local dealer. And Express Boats has been building all welded excitement since 1966. All right. So, full disclosure, I had a guest on a little earlier, and I screwed it up. I know y'all don't believe that, but my mixer to my recording software here, I've already done this once today, and so we're doing it again, round two. But I lost the interview with our guest today, and we're going to get back with him just here shortly, and see what he's got going on in the world. Our guest today, let's go ahead and hit you with it. This presented by the W Sauce, America's Worcestershire sauce. We're going to get the sauce from Trent Palmer, our MPFL champion. Already recorded an hour conversation with him, but we're going to have to do it again. Oh, me, if it wasn't for bad luck. I talk about all the positivity from this week that just happened. I'm so grateful to be home. And then some stupid things happened with the podcast, you know. But back here in the bar and grill. And, you know, last week's show got a little crazy. Slick Johnson. I had my man Slick Johnson on. And enjoyed it, man. I absolutely enjoyed it. And so many of you did. There were a lot of eyeballs on that one, a lot of comments. Had people kind of stirred up. The Luke and Slick combination had the fishing industry tore up. We had some pro anglers starting to make some phone calls because they didn't like what we were saying or alluding to. And they, the ones that were calling, were ones that really got out scot-free on this whole Spencer Shuffield situation. So it was hilarious to me that right after, not very long after the podcast had been up, that's when MLF released the statement about Spencer Shuffield. So we actually, breaking news from Luke and Slick, but we talked about that was coming, and then they released a press release. Because we had people in the comments that listened like a day later, and it was funny. They were like, what did they sweep under the rug? There's a press release. I was like, well, I guess you should see when this uploaded. Stupid. Sound like one of my kids. Stupid. Mom's basement dweller. Yeah, man. You know, Spencer took all the brunt of that. He deserved what he got. Don't get me wrong, but everybody else kind of skated on through. I did see when Wired to Fish shared that news, people were commenting, well, there were others that did things, and they said, to our understanding, this was a Wired to Fish comment back to them, the investigation is still ongoing. Investigation. Maybe it is. I don't know. I said I wasn't going to be too negative on this show, and I'm not. I'm tired of talking about the Cayuga thing for the sheer point of, you know, we try to shed light on things, guys like myself, guys like Slick, and we've done that. And if the organizations aren't going to do what they need to do, I just, you know, I'm not going to just keep beating it to death every single week. But the guys that we haven't named, they damn sure know who they are, and the guilty dogs have been barking this week. And Slick may talk about it on his show because he had a couple confrontations this week. I didn't get any phone calls, but Slick tends to, especially these days, he's a little more full tilt about it than I am. And but I've been doing this for many, many years, y'all. been doing this for many years. It's like I told Slick, I've tried to give him some advice. I have, I've lived all these kind of battles and I got the scars to show it, and I'll keep on speaking up for what I think is right. And just in life in general, but in the sport of bass fishing in particular, obviously. But Slick's throwing it out there, man. And I think his TikTok he did live on Wednesday night got a little rowdy. I didn't get to see it. He's been texting me a little bit, but I look forward to joining Slick again. I'm going to have him come to the Bar and Grill for sure one of these days soon. And then I'm going to go do an Alabama Bass Council live with him one night. Those guys, I know a couple of the boys he records with, good people. And yeah, man, Slick Johnson is a bright spot in this sport. There are a lot of folks that he rubs the wrong way, but he's a good dude, very good dude. And I was proud to have him on. So thank y'all for watching that. Running the numbers up on that one like crazy. It was, it's always amazing that thousands and thousands and thousands of people tune in to watch me run my mouth about bass fishing, music, and my life. So thank y'all for tuning in, and shame on you for being Major League Fishing and not handling that like you should have. I still think, though, I will say this, I'll end on this before we move on to just like positive things, is sorry, lost my train of thought. Got a text from our guest that I've already recorded with that I got to re-record with here in just a minute. So I think that Spencer won't go away. I think Spencer most definitely broke rules, but I think him being the only one that got hung out to dry on this one, so to speak, I don't know how this one's going to go. It's going to be interesting. And Slick mentioned that last week, and I've not talked to Spencer. Slick has, and we'll see. We'll see. I think that because there's a lot of underlying stories that over the years in professional fishing of guys cheating or being gray, different things. And all it takes is one loose cannon to start really telling those stories that kind of get swept under the rug. So we tell a lot of them, but whoo boy, Spencer is, he's pretty hot from what I've been told. And we'll see. We'll see what's going to happen. Let's move on to some really positive stories. Really, really positive things. Hang on 2 seconds. Recording again. Trent Palmer texted me right now. Sorry, guys. Sorry. It's that. Listen, Fat Cat and I, one of the things that I did not mention in my Whiskey Myers story from earlier was that we drove down to Milwaukee. We hung out with them before the show and after the show, and it's an hour and 40 drive. We got back to the hotel in Appleton, Wisconsin at 2 a.m. We had to be in the studio by 5:30. So running on empty, as the Eagle said, to say the very freaking least. And then I didn't get in last night. I'm recording this on Sunday, of course, and I didn't get in last night until midnight, I guess. So I'm running on fumes. I did sleep in this morning, but scatterbrained more than usual. But I've got a few days here at the house before I leave for the Express Boats dealer meeting to rest up and you know, you can't make up for lost sleep. That's for sure. That's scientifically proven. But you can lay around and be lazy, fat and lazy on the couch, though. I've seen me do it. Fat Cat was like, dude, I can't believe we're not going to, you know, we're running on fumes. We can't sleep. And there's one thing for sure. When you're old and gray, you're not going to talk about missing sleep. You're going to talk about the experiences like the Whiskey Myers concert or going to Wrigley Field. It's those things that stand out to you, I feel like, as you get older. So, if I misspeak on this podcast, if I do stupid things like not record a conversation that was fantastic for the podcast I do weekly about an hour ago, it was worth it. It was worth it. All right, let's talk about something that obviously I'm very passionate about, I care a lot about, and it's near and dear to my heart, and that's the NPFL. It's the NPFL, and We have, like most families, we've been through our share of drama. We've been through our share of frustrations. It's been like a roller coaster. We've cried. We've yielded. We've done a lot of things in 3 seasons there. We've had our share of controversy. We've had our share of victories. We've had our share of losses. And I think that leaving this event, man, I find myself very grateful to work with that organization – And I always say that and I mean that, but I'm just a redneck from Tennessee. So to get to be a part of what they got going on, to get to commentate, to get to watch these guys that win these events, their lives get changed, them compete at this high level, it's amazing. It's amazing. To get to watch guys like Patrick Walters, watch guys like John Cox mix it up, to get to meet the new faces that we have, to get to be a part of the faces we've introduced to the fishing industry, like a Taylor Watkins that smashed them up. A Bryant Smith that's catching them on the Elite Series, David Gaston catching them. It's really cool. It's an honor. They've announced angler applications are open for next year, so you can sign up. Going to be about 30 spots after the dust settles, I think, available, basically. 76 of the pros that fish this year, they get priority entry. There's another 30 or so guys, 25 to 30, that fished with us the first 2 years that did not fish this year for one reason or another. They're giving them priority, as they should, because they rolled the dice with the MPFL the first two seasons there, that they're going to get a priority entry there if they would like to come back. And they're going to take 130 anglers. $100,000 first place. They're going to pay down 43 spots based on 130 anglers next year. Okay, it's going to be a six-event season yet again. Great schedule they're working on. But I can tell you this, because I know there are a lot of naysayers. Look, I was one in the beginning. I was one before they ever, ever got involved. There are a lot of people that like to stay in our comments saying really dumb things, but things are happening at the National Professional Fishing League in a very positive way. And there are a lot, and when I say a lot, read my lips, lot of big names that are sniffing around, that are asking about it, that are asking when you sign up, that are texting, that are calling other anglers that are fishing, that are calling me, that are calling Fat Cat, that are calling the tournament organization. Names that would blow your mind that fish both Bass Pro Tour and the Bassmaster Elite Series. Lots of guys, okay? And to quote one highly, highly acclaimed, big-time angler in this country that texted me this week, he said, they're truly the only league right now that just doesn't have some kind of bullcrap surrounding them. And that was very refreshing to hear. Very refreshing to hear. And I think, like I said, I've already done the interview with Mr. Trent Palmer, and we're going to get him back on the phone here in just a little bit as he makes his way home from Michigan to Georgia. But Trent said, he said, man, operationally, and we'll get him to tell this, but operationally, they run the best tournament in the business, and I fished all of them. That's the way I see it as a guy that's fished tournaments since he was 10 years old. I feel they run one of the best events on boots on the ground wise that in the country. David Dudley himself, one of the legends of the sport that's fished so many tournaments, it'll make your head spin. He said that when he worked with us the first year. He's like, this is incredible what these guys do. It's incredible. They've got a very small crew and they get it done. They care about the anglers. They do indeed put the anglers first. They listen to the anglers. And it's good, though. But we had so many positive vibes at this event. And like I said, I've spent the last month talking about all this bull crap, cheating controversy and cover up and just blah, 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 and the world's tense. But to see the things that I saw at this MPFL, which was Trent Palmer taking the win by 2 ounces over Patrick Walters, who is – without question, one of the top three or four, no matter what the Bass Fan rankings say, three or four anglers in the world right now, bass fishing, and has been for the last few years. It's incredible. He won our last event, had a chance to go back-to-back, but Trent is his roommate. Mike Corbishley, another one of their roommates, they go first, second, and third in this event. Insane, man. So much fun to cover, so much fun to watch, but Trent had mechanical issue after mechanical issue, been struggling with a motor that he was having to change the oil in it every night. Okay. Patrick Walters helping him work on his boat at night as they're competing against each other. Patrick led it both days one and two. Trent's motor blows on the last day, and Patrick Walters, the tournament leader, brings him and his fish back. So you had first and second place, both riding back in the same boat. It's an incredible story. We're going to let Trent tell it. But that kind of thing is what the MPFL is about, that camaraderie. You've heard Patrick Walter say it on here. You've heard John Cox say it on here. You've heard Keith Carson say it on here. It is phenomenal. So if you're not watching and if you're not paying attention, but you claim to love bass fishing, then I'm sorry for you because you're missing out on a lot of good fishing. You're missing out on some great coverage, even if I am a part of it. And great guys going to great bodies of water. So I just got to say that it is refreshing. It is refreshing. And, you know, it's David versus Goliath. The fishing industry does not back these guys for the most part. They do not. The engine manufacturers do not back this. They don't. They don't have a service crew. The only service crew we've ever had, PowerPole. PowerPoles came out to some events, but the industry's not behind this deal. This is angler ran for the most part. It is done on a shoestring, employee basis, not a lot of employees, and they pull it off week in and week out. And I'm proud to be a part of it, man. And so next year, if you got any ambitions, if you're fishing things, whatever other league you're in, you're looking to add to it, you're looking to fish for big money, you're looking for something with some live coverage, you should go check it out. Next year, I think it's going to be their biggest year yet, to say the least. All right, here we go. Just got the text I was waiting on. Let's get this guy back on the phone. Let's get this guy back on the phone. So this guy is a very accomplished angler, right? He finished his second at Saginaw Bay last year, the same tournament by 4 ounces to Gary Atkins. Comes back this year. He's third day one, second day two, ends up taking the victory. He owns Sonar Pros. They created the original wiring harness. There's a lot of talk about harnesses in bass boats, these souped up wiring harnesses. This guy is a guru. Between his ears, he is absolutely an electronics machine there on Lake Lanier with Sonar Pros. Let's call him right now. We're going to get the sauce from him presented by the W Sauce. I'm going to call him back right now. Ladies and gentlemen, Trent Palmer. Well, it's me again, Margaret. Welcome back to LBL. So I had to tell the folks at home because listen, buddy, I'm running on fumes. Fat Cat and I went to a dang Whiskey Myers concert when we were up there. I got about 2 hours sleep. I mean, I ended up getting in, got delayed last night, ended up getting in at midnight, but I made a critical error about halfway through our interview. And then what I had done on the podcast before I even called you, sounded like absolute garbage, more than normal. So I have re-recorded Low Budget Live, and here we are with Trent Palmer. I've already wasted your time this morning, but we're gonna get it again from you here, bud. So, dude, congratulations! I know I've already said that to you multiple times now, but it absolute insane story. And I set this up before I called. I kind of told the backstory of last year and the 4 ounce deal. The loss to Gary Atkins, the crazy conditions last year, but then some of the adversity you dealt with your mechanical issues and things. Trying to run down Patrick, who, and I told you this last night. I don't know if you were aware or not until I said it, but 2019, he was like 16th in Bassmaster AOI, has not had a Bassmaster Angler of the Year finish outside of the top 10 since 2019. Stupid.
He is stupid. He is by far one of, and I'm not saying this because he's a buddy of mine. I mean, truly the guy, any ranks he's ever fished at, whether it was college, the opens, the elites, and now the MPFL as well. Pretty sure he's won a major event in every circuit. I mean, he is one of the best anglers in the world. Now, you and I talked about this. If he could get his social media game up a little bit more, he'd probably, have a little bit more following because he's got a great personality. I mean, I don't agree with the short shorts, but
listen, he's got to be careful. Listen, he gets in them big waves. I told him last year he gets some short shorts. He gets up there bouncing around. He's going to give people a free show. He's going to get us kicked off the damn internet. He's got to stop. Yeah. He's got to be careful. I know he's glad he didn't win because he said he was going to get a smallmouth tattooed on his butt cheek if he won. So,
yeah.
And we were really going to hold him to it.
We I know we talked about that. I still think the teardrop tattoo with the smallmouth outline, or like, since he does wear short shorts, you know, I think Fat Cat said it on the after show, the big thigh tat.
Yeah, a thigh tat. Smallmouth jumping out of the water, a whole scene on his thigh. I think that would really bring the sponsors in. Well, but he didn't win because Trent Palmer, dream crusher this week, baby. You crushed the dreams of Mr. Coach Walters there. And are you going to get a smallmouth tattoo on your eye, bud?
No, I'm not one for getting some ink on the face. I think the ink on the face will hold back on some, business opportunities down the road.
That's what I said. I told Fat Cat we could have been like Post Malone yesterday with "always tired" tattooed under our face after staying out all night before we had to be in studio 5 a.m. Solid decision on our part. But
100%.
Yeah, solid decision. But hey, we made it through, and I don't know that anybody would have noticed had we not brought it up.
A couple, some coffee and some energy drinks and an ibuprofen will get it taken care of.
Well, I said yesterday morning on live though, smallmouth bass are very much the equivalent of caffeine. When you're getting to watch you guys just be puppet masters, the second we flipped the switch on, it was like, I'm like, we can see all 6 cameras, 7 that we got going, whatever it is, and it's just you and Patrick and Mike are just ding 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 ding. I'm like, this is fixing to be so stupid. You guys were crushing right out of the jump. But dude, let's get into it. I know you've I've already talked to you almost out of a voice here. You're on your way home back to Georgia. But just for everybody listening, the low lifers, I keep saying there's been a lot of negative in bass fishing in the last month, unfortunately. And this event for me was kind of the turning point in getting back to, some positive, good stories. And the camaraderie between you and Patrick, the competitive nature between you two on camera and Mike in the mix was so much fun to watch. But just kind of walk us through everything from the engine issues that you were having that just plagued you all week, to the motor finally giving out, to standing on stage to take that victory by 2 ounces with Patrick Walters and you idling in for 45 minutes in the same boat with the first place and second place stringer. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So the motor, and I kind of, last time we talked, I briefly talked about this. I work on boats for a living, so I get to see and hear stories a lot. It doesn't matter what brand you have. They all eventually have problems. Our outboards aren't like a car where you have a transmission that lets you run at lower RPMs. Bass boats, for the most part, you're either in the mid-range of the RPMs or the high end of the RPMs, which long-term, stuff just happens. Unfortunately, I got in little bit of a situation where we kind of had a gremlin in the motor that we weren't really sure what was going on. So back at Santee, I had one low pressure oil alarm, and we kind of, by per the diagnostics, it looked like it was a sensor. We replaced the sensor, and after replacing the sensor, I actually went up. I normally don't pre-practice for events, but for this one, I knew what I had to do to find fish to win, which was put a lot of seat time behind the graphs. And I went out and pre-practiced for 2 days. I then, the week after that, took what felt like my first vacation in like 3 years. Went up to our family lake house in Wisconsin and hung out up there and did some fishing out of the boat up there. No issues with the boat there. 3 days of practice, no issues, till I made a 40-minute run into the boat ramp. And I got really inconsistent oil pressure down to, at one point in time, 0, which put me in Guardian mode. Knew that we had an issue and we needed to figure out what was going on. So luckily for this event with the MPFL, we have an off day, which I know some people don't like off days. I know back when you fished the tour, did you guys have off days?
Oh, we did. And when I started, I fished a few of the opens, I was like, this is for the birds. I need an off day because I'm an old man and I love it.
Yeah. The off day is the best thing ever, especially in a situation like this, because if you have a problem, you got time to work on it. You know, you get to sleep in a little, whatever. But luckily for us, the MPFL, I love the format. We've got an off day. So during that off day, I was like, okay, let's just, let's go do an oil change. Maybe something's up. I was thinking something was up with the oil because mercury had recently changed from the engines using 10W30 to heavier 2540 to help reduce oil seeping past the piston rings when the engine's fully trimmed down, which was causing oil to burn. So I was thinking, okay, let me just go back to 10W30 since they just recently went to this 10W or 10W30 since they just changed this 2540. So that morning went to a Mercury store or a local dealer dealership that had some oil. I got some 10W30, put it in the engine, called Sean Mulhall, who's our tournament director, said, hey, I need to test this boat. He and I got on the river and we tested the boat and it was dropping oil pressure bad. I mean, it was just going down to zero, barely holding pressure, peaking up and down to be like 80 pounds, 0 pounds, 80 pounds, 40 pounds. I was like, oh, this issue is way worse now. So went out and got the 2540 oil again, changed the oil again, and went out and tested the boat again. And it was holding pressure fine for a little bit. Well, day one of the tournament arguably was the worst weather. I mean, we had, I would say, pretty consistent three to four footers that morning that we were running in. And the engine ran perfectly fine till I was about 5 miles from my spot. And then the oil pressure started just going up and down again. And I said, okay. In my head, I'm like, good news is we're here at the spot. I've got Pat and Mike around me. Something happens, we'll come in. So made the run, you know, fished that day, got 18 and a half, made the run in, and the oil pressure was all over the place again. So we got off the water. I got more oil. I stopped at a Mercury place. And when I went to go change the oil that time, I noticed that fuel was coming out with the oil. You could tell that there was a fuel mix. The oil just didn't look like it should. It had lower viscosity, and that's when we realized that my engine was making oil. So fuel is actually getting past the piston rings, making oil. The engine had made like a quart and a half. And lowers the viscosity, which essentially makes it not as thick, and it'll, you know, fluctuate oil pressure. So essentially what was happening with my motor is the more I used it, the worse the oil situation was, which in a tournament like this where we're making long runs is a one thing I didn't cover on was during the off day. One thing that had me make a real big decision on letting me use my boat, because I was in a position where I could get a loaner boat, was I went and took the boat to get compression. I essentially went to like six local dealers and only one actually took the time to help me out. Because he had been a local bass fisherman, and we ran compression on the engine, and it compression tested fine. So after that day one of the tournament, when we finally kind of realized what the problem was, pretty much every day of the tournament, I just proceeded to change the oil so that we could get all that bad oil out that had the fuel mixture and put new oil in. So day one, day two, we were able to get in and get back, no problem. And then day three is when I could tell the engine audibly was having problems. And ultimately, what started progressing was the engine stopped making oil and started burning oil, which means oil was getting past the, and, which effectively means the engine's losing compression, power head is blowing. So during the tournament, day three, it got to a point where it started putting me in guardian mode a lot on live. I believe you guys, saw me do it. I had to add oil. I had a suspicion that ultimately the engine would start burning oil when it's getting ready to let go. So I grabbed an extra jug of oil and put it in the boat. So on the water, I was adding oil into the engine just to get me back to my final spot. And when we got back to that final spot, I got, you know, called Sean Mulhall, our tournament director, and said, hey, am I clear to call Patrick? I'm having this problem. He said, yep. I called Patrick, told him, hey, man, I'm going to leave this area at 2:45. If you get a phone call from me after 2:45, that means she blew. Sure enough, I get a mile down the lake, and the engine finally completely lets go. It held, you know, zero PSI in the oil pressure, was in constant guardian mode, and would not get on plane anymore. And the unfortunate thing is when I got off plane, I was in a no cell phone service area. So I had to bust a U-turn with the boat because it would idle in guardian mode, and for a split second the oil hit, like, oil pressure on my gauge hit 8 psi, and I got on plane for like 100 yards, and then it shut me down again. And right when I got off plane, I got cell service and called Pat, and he came out to help me.
So the tournament leader, one of the hottest anglers in the country, your best bud there, has been helping you change your oil at night. helping you change your oil. You guys are not only having to work on tackle, you're fighting big water, big waves. You get back in, you got dinner, and then you're changing oil. Well, then this guy, he could have just left you out there. That's what I would have done for sure. He could have just left you, but he comes over, and you guys are neck and neck in the tournament. You've got a camera guy in each boat, so you got to figure out what to do with those crazy cats. Travis Goss. I forget who you had with you. I know Travis was with Pat. But you guys have to get them. They take your boat, correct? They take your boat to go back to shore. MPFL sending your truck. It's always a good idea to hide some keys when you're in a tournament making a long run. Pro tip: if you don't know that move, you should definitely do that in case you have a mechanical issue. And so the league sends your truck and trailer up, and you and Patrick, first and second place of the tournament, take a long ride back to Bay City, Michigan. But something interesting happened. The whole thing's interesting, but take me through those last, say, couple hours there, hour and a half with old Coach Walters in the boat.
Yeah. And so I before I get to that, like, one thing for the viewers to make context for, when my engine finally broke down and Patrick came over, him coming to help me cost him probably about 20 to 30 minutes of smallmouth fishing, which when it comes to tournament fishing, even 60 seconds can make a difference. So, you know, there's obviously no definitives in that situation, but the fact that Patrick was able to take away time from his fishing to come help me, I think speaks testament to the type of person he is. But also, you know, he could have very easily been like, no, Pat, you know, I know Trent has the opportunity to beat me. No, I'll peace out. I mean, I know he's not the type of person, but it is awesome that the sportsmanship in this league, especially with friends, just the fact that he was able to do that. And then two, for context as well, when he came to me, anything we did in that boat at that point in time, we were on the phone with Sean Mulhall, our tournament director.
Yes.
And very explicitly, can we do this? Can we do that? Yes, no. And I by far have to give the biggest shout out to the two camera guys because, dude, we put them in my boat with a blown motor that would idle. Now, luckily, the trolling motor batteries, I run a powerful charge. I've got X2 power, twin 36 volt lithiums. And that powerful charge, since I was running so much that day, Travis, one of the camera guys, actually said, hey, man, is the trolling motor got enough juice if we to go out there? I pulled up the app and I was at like 90% battery.
Wow.
So, you know, we cleared it with Sean. And we essentially, what we did was the camera guys got in my boat. We moved my fish and, you know, life jacket, all that stuff into Patrick's boat. And like I said, biggest shout out to the camera guys, because after we left them, they pretty much had to get the boat. I think it was 6.5 miles into the boat, closest boat ramp. I believe a big storm hit them. I mean, my camera guy prior to working for Fix TV had never been in a bass boat before.
So his lucky day, lucky tournament. Yeah. Hey, you want to go ride around in the ocean with Trent Palmer?
Yeah. I cannot give enough gratitude to those guys, because ultimately what could have, the other situation was I stayed with the boat and Patrick ran my fish in, which, you know, still would have got the win obviously, but wouldn't have been able to experience it. And the fact that the two of them being on board with what ultimately happened, because of them, I was able to experience that win, which was pretty cool. And I owe a lot of gratitude to them, because it was a pretty awesome experience.
It would have, then it would have just, not to throw shade, but to throw shade, it would have been like a BPT. You'd have just won in the middle of the lake by yourself.
Yeah, I would have been sitting there on my phone like, I won
a tournament. No, you wouldn't have had service. You wouldn't have been able to watch the weigh-in.
True, 100%.
We would have had to call you like the next day and be like, congratulations, Trent, you won the event. Oh my goodness, man. It's still, for me, the other storyline of you, Mike, and Patrick all going 1-2-3, Mike Corbishley finishing the top three. I kept calling you guys the three best smallmouth friends that anyone could have, because you guys stuck it out. Day one was so rough, and you three really were the only ones that didn't turn around from going to those smallmouth grounds. And then the same on day two, you guys kind of worked out a game plan together to bunt that morning and get play small ball, get some largemouth in the boat, and then go out. It was played to perfection, man, strategy wise. to put yourself in position to win. But once you and Patrick, we saw you guys on the water have this interaction where he's like, well, you got, and you're like 18, and you'd already told us 21. So I'm like on live, like, liar. He's a liar. He's lying to his friend. But I didn't feel bad for Patrick because Patrick is always a liar. Patrick doesn't update his WayLive app. We never know, absolutely never know what's going to happen with Patrick's catch at every event, man. We tried our best to tell the story, but I mean, at Santee, I think we had him at like 17 one day, and he had whatever his biggest bag was there last event. I'm like, and I talked to him that night. I said, seriously, bro, can you just pick up your phone and do the WayLive app for us and just kind of guess? So you guys had this interaction though, and it really put a lot of pressure on Patrick though, because we get to see all of it, and just you telling him he had 18, really, he started like his whole demeanor changed. And I said this earlier to you when we talked, that he has that swagger of an earlier Van Damme when he was closing in on a victory. We saw it last year with him a couple times. We've seen it this year. We've watched it in the elites as well. And all of a sudden, though, he just got laser focused, and he kept saying, "I got to have more weight. I got to have." And we were trying to guess what he had based off of what we were watching him catch. And anyways, you guys though, 2 pound difference going out on Showdown Saturday. He doesn't look at your fish. You don't look at his though when you put them in separate live wells on the boat. Nobody peeks at all.
No, and like the best. So on the story of there's two. Two funny parts in the whole thing. One, the story I'll tell about us running in together, because that's pretty funny.
Oh, it's amazing.
But two, the interaction of us on the water. So Patrick, to your point, is notorious for I don't think he passed grade school in the math department, so that's probably part of. I don't know how they teach math over at USC, but in Georgia we learn math good, as we'll say. But he
and at Tennessee, they learn it better than both of you guys do. But continue. Yeah.
Day two, we pull in the river together for the idol. And I was like, what do you got? Because I had a good day. I had 21-10 21-10 day two, I think. I was like, what do you got? He's like, I got 17. And I'm like, heck yeah. You know, like I was excited.
I got him.
Beat Patrick big time now. And then we get to the weigh-in, and he has 22 pounds. And I was like, bro, you could have at least said I have 20. Like 20 to 22,
oh,
fine.
The mind games,
17
man.
To 22. So I already made up my mind. When that morning on day three started off well and I pretty much caught up my weight that morning, I already made up in my mind, when I see Patrick, I'm going to lie to his face about what I have. Like I was excited. I was excited inside to lie to Patrick about my weight. So when we got to each other, and I actually, when we did this earlier, I forgot to tell this part. When we got to each other, and obviously you guys saw it on live, he told me, I have 17 again. So when he said, I have 17 again, I was like, damn, he's got 22 again. I was like, crap, I need 24 plus now to even get in contention in this thing. And well, then he goes, what do you got? And I said, well, I got 18. And if anyone that knows me, I am the worst liar. I smirk at everything. And I guess when I told him I had 18, I busted a little smile.
Okay.
I didn't realize it.
Okay.
And in his head, he told me after that, he said, he goes, dude, when you said you had 18 and you gave me this little smile, he goes, I knew immediately. He said, I knew immediately that I wasn't, that it was going to be close and that I needed to go to work. So that was what that interaction was. And then the best part of the whole thing in being friends, it was even more fun, was we made the run in, which normally it took about an hour. Luckily that day, the closer we got to the back of the bay where the river is, where the long idol is, it got calmer and calmer. So we actually got in about 15 minutes in faster than we thought. So Patrick's like, I wonder if I can still fish. I was like, well, I know I can, but I'll call Mulhall and find out what's the deal. So we call Sean, and Sean goes, Patrick can fish. Pat, Trent, you cannot. So once we got out of that river,
the best. He's holding you hostage with your winning stringer of fish. And he's just like, hey, bro, watch this.
I was held hostage is what it was. So he pulls up on the island there in front of the river, which that island is a major a highway for fish coming in and out of the back part of that bay by the river. And there are so he pulls up to the island. I sit on the back deck like a marshal, sitting there just praying to God he doesn't catch a 6-pounder in front of me, because I knew if he caught, I knew it was, you know, we hadn't looked at each other's fish, but we had a suspicion it was close. And I had to sit there for 15 minutes and just watch him sit there, you know, work down the rock on the island and hope that he didn't catch one.
You know, and, in that situation, smallmouth are notorious for jumping out of the live well. Had he caught one, you could have just been like, oh, hang on, I'll get this live well for you, and just open it a few minutes earlier and hope they took flight with coal tags and all.
Yeah, whoops. And then, so after that lovely experience of sitting like a marshal, we got to the mouth of the river and started the idle. And so I think we were 10 minutes into cutting up, and we kind of had the conversation like, all right, you know, what do you think you got? And Pat was like, man, if I have 20, it's a light 20, and I'll be surprised if I have 20. He's like, I've got a bunch of cookie cutter, heavy threes. And he's like, what do you got? I was like, well, the last time I weighed, I know I had over 21, but I made a couple coals since then. I told him, with confidence, I know I have at least 22. I said, it could be more than that, but I'm just going to say 22 to be safe. And he was like, dude, it's going to be close. And I was like, you think? And I was like, don't lie to me, Patrick. I was like, don't do your math. He goes, no, man, I'm being serious. He's like, you can look at him if you want. I was like, no, I don't want to look at him. We'll find out here in the next hour or so. And then sure enough, you know, we made the idle in. Got a lot of looks and stares, confused why we were in the same boat together, but it worked out.
Oh my goodness, man. I said it to you earlier. I'll say it again now. There's definitely in I've kept up with this sport for a long time. And I just don't think there's ever been a tournament where first place and second rode back in the same boat. First and second place stringers in the same live well. Maybe back in the boat on boat draw days or something way back. But I even doubt it then. So crazy, man. But that speaks to the MPFL, the overall vibe. And Patrick would do that in an elite series. He would do that in a local tournament. You would do the same for somebody. That kind of thing happens in our bass fishing community a lot. It does. I mean, guys help people out. They tow in innocent stranded boaters all the time. I mean, in this event, John Cox had to go rescue his kids in kayaks, for the love of God. John Cox, total sidebar story. John Cox's kids, he had his family up there. They were vacationing, and his kids decided to paddle in kayaks that were out there at their VRBO out to a lighthouse. And the wind and weather got up, and they got blown away.
I know what lighthouse you're talking about, and they're lunatics for trying to get out to that thing.
They went like six or seven miles, John said, in kayaks. Well, then he posted it on social. You can go see his picture of him with two kayaks on each side of his boat. He had to like bring them back to shore during practice. That's they called hilarious. Him like, "Hey, Dad, we're screwed. You got to come get us." So he went and got them. Like I told him yesterday. Reality show man waiting to happen right there with that man and his family. Yeah. It's better than the Kardashians. That's for damn sure. Always something going on with the John Cox and crew, but yeah, he had to go rescue his family. But no, man, we see things in the MPFL amongst the anglers since year one that just blows my mind. The overall vibe. Yeah. Do we have folks that butt heads on the water? Some million percent. It's going to happen. Tensions get high, a lot of money on the line to be in the events and a lot of money that you can win, right? But I think that for me, it is as good of a good vibe at a tournament as I've ever experienced, man, from the angler side and the league. And I know you had you fished with us last year. You narrowly missed winning the same event. So I guess you're going to buy a house in Bay City, Michigan. Now you got the down payment ready. You should put Sonar Pros, the Northern edition up there.
Northern division.
Yeah. Northern division of Sonar Pros up there. But you were kind of on the fence, man, with fishing because they made some changes. We went through that where they raised the entry fee, last year, and you called me a couple times, and I talked to guys like Patrick and traders like Justin Kimmel. I talked to those guys, last fall about it. And then the NPFL stepped up. They've dropped the entry fee back and then went to this $100,000 entry fee. Then the schedule just got, I mean, even better than it already was. They made a couple changes, and now they're coming to your home lake. So you're invested, and you get back in. You've got to win now. You got a chance to win another one. But talk about, because you said something earlier when we talked. Talk about the league in general, though, man. And I know I don't want to seem like, and it's full disclosure, everybody that follows this, follows me, they know I'm obviously an employee of the league. I've been with them for 3 years, since before this thing ever went off the ground. I've been through the ups and downs that we have had, and there have been several. Like I said at the first of this show, there have been victories, there have been losses, there have been controversies. That, you know, we lost anglers, you know, through COVID. Craziness, man, that we've just experienced so many things as an organization. But this event, I thinking last night, just driving home, honestly, like a psychopath with no radio on or anything from the airport, and just kind of thinking about it over, you know, where it's been and where it's at and where it's going. But just kind of speak to your experience in the league, dude, because it's and obviously a direct deposit of 100K. You'll be like, it's fantastic. But talk about, you know, your opinion of the National Professional Fishing League.
Yeah, I think, obviously the payout for this week was fantastic. But even fishing last year, we had a reduced payout, and, you know, fishing this year, I mean, I think – one thing that the NPFL feels is there is definitely, I believe, a void in the professional fishing industry world we live in, where there's this abundance of anglers that want to fish at a professional level. And the problem is there's really not a lot of pathways to do that. You pretty much can go to the opens, which majority of the time the opens have a capped field, which I think is about 200 people. And then the opens are an absolute meat grinder once you get into them. I know some really good anglers fish in the opens that it's just not on their side this year.
It's like a hamster wheel. You just get over there and it's like, yep. I don't care the work you put in. I don't care how good you are. When there's 225, there are a lot of variables on the line. Period. End of story.
Yep. And then, you know, you can go fish the MLF tackle warehouse circuit, which is about, I think, 100 angler field. So now we're up anglers that can actually get into a professional level. And then, you know, you got the Elite Series and the Bass Pro Tour, which they only allow 2 to 3 anglers in per year. And then you've got the Toyota Opens, which the Toyota Series, which those tournaments have 300 boats in them. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, kind of a, you know, needle in a haystack situation from a tournament perspective. So I think what the NPFL does really well, and what I've thoroughly enjoyed, is it allows anglers an opportunity to fish at a professional level, fish for professional money, and then also have a platform to not only grow, you know, your network and your brand, but also gives the viewers another league to watch and learn about some absolute hammers like Mike Corbishley, like Todd Goad, that you may not have heard of outside of the NPFL. And I think that's the void the NPFL fills. Now, outside of that, what I really enjoy about it is, you know, being a business owner, it is awesome that the tournaments are, you know, on average 6 to 8 weeks apart. Really gives you good separation to go fish a tournament, come back, get your things in order. You know, you're not on the road for 4 months straight. So the spacing of the tournaments is fantastic. And then two or three, the Brad and the crew, they run an outstanding tournament. I have fished, you know, I fish BFLs, I fish Toyotas, I fish college. I fish a lot of smaller organizations as well that ran good tournaments. But I'm telling you right now, no one runs a better blast off, weigh in, any aspect of the tournament than the NPFL. And they do really cool things like the last day of the tournament. If you're in first, you blast off first and weigh in last. So you're kind of rewarded for doing well. Overall, the way the tournament runs and functions, there is no one that does a better tournament, hands down. I think someone was telling me at one point in time, I think John Cox was making mention that he felt like the tournaments even ran better than some of any other tournament series he's fished before.
Yeah, you know, Dudley, and I mentioned this earlier on the show, but Dudley, the first year when he worked with us, he'd just stand there at the weigh-in just shaking his head, like blown away. He's like, dude, and he actually, we had some anglers complaining like event four in year one, and Dudley asked him if he could speak at the meeting because he got up to tell him, like, hey, guys, you don't know how good you have it because this league takes care of you, man. And it was cool to see him be motivated to speak to this group of anglers that we were working with because he felt compelled just based off of his tournament history and all the events he had fished. And hell, man, there's a lot of big names that are peeking their head through the curtains about next year. And I think a lot of guys are going to give it a serious look and as they should, man. And I really, I'm not just saying that because I work there. I joke all the time. I almost wish I wasn't employed there so I could fish it because it would be a perfect league for me to be a part of. Because I do have a lot of other things going on outside of professional fishing. That was always my thing with FLW that was so hard was I had a career outside of there. And if tournaments, even though there were only six events, they were jammed in there. So you didn't have a lot of break in between. And it makes it tough. And somebody at home's probably like, oh, cry me a river. You got to fish the FLW tour and work a job and actually keep a job. Yep, I did. And I'm not complaining, but I'm saying that with the spacing, I mean, right now we're looking almost last of July, our next event in Oklahoma, almost the end of September. 2 month break, man, that you've got to, you right now, you've got equipment issue. You got to get your motor repaired, got to get things kind of put back together, which won't take you long. But if you had to turn around and fish this week, or next week, you'd be stressing
in trouble.
Yeah, you'd be stressing it.
And too, like being, you know, what my guys, you know, my business is Sonar Pros, and, mm-hmm. and my guys at the shop do an awesome job when I'm gone. But there's just stuff that happens when being the business owner, you're not there, that is not fun to deal with. And like things came up this week that there's nothing I can do about it that have now carried over boats to this week coming up. So the wonderful thing is we're going to get in probably around 9 o'clock tonight, and tomorrow morning we're going to be right at the shop nice and early, probably around 6 a.m. just to see what we're going to deal with for the week. Because we got a full week of installs. I know there's orders that got to get shipped. I mean, we're back to the grind per se, even though we're coming off of a win here. You know, I go back home and go right back to work, and having that space between the events, like I mentioned before, and what you're mentioning about how you have 8 weeks, really lets you get caught up for being out for a week, lets you get kind of reset to get ready to go for the next tournament compared to being back to back.
No doubt about it. speak to Sonar Pros a little bit. I mentioned it before I called you again here, but you are fascinating to watch in how you handle your electronics, your expertise when you talk on live interviews I've seen you do online. But I personally, I know so many people, and I've called you and bugged you. I called you at 8 o'clock the other night and said, hey, Palmer, I got a question, and I'm a cheapskate, so I'm not coming to Georgia. how do I need to do this? And I did if we're talking minor league baseball, major league baseball, I did a single A install of something that you and I talked about that was very non-Trent Palmer-like, trust me, and you'll never see it because I'm too embarrassed to show you the job that I did on this. But you gave me some pointers. But you are – you developed one of the first OG sonar harness that upgraded wires to get your electronics the power that they need with the Sonar Pros harness, but then you took it a step further with your installs and things, man. But just talk about that and kind of how you came to be the Sonar Pro.
Yeah, so for me, tournament fishing really – I tournament fished in high school. There wasn't high school fishing when I was in high school. But college, when I got into college, I fished for Georgia Southern University out of South Georgia. And I got into college fishing kind of in its first couple early years of when it got traction. I was in the, I guess you could say, the era of pretty much I fished an interesting era where my first couple years in college is when Jordan and Matt Lee were doing their run. And then the tail end of my college is when Patrick had just came in. So for me, tournament fishing really started, you'd say, snowballing in college. And one of my first boats I had two Lowrance Gen 2 8s or 10s, I don't really remember, with LSS2 or LSS1 transducer. And for me, I found a lot of success fishing offshore, which kind of kicked off installing electronics. One of my boats I had in college, I had an issue where I would crank the motor and the grass would turn off. And I have a little, prior to that, I had some DC voltage knowledge just from my whole life. I've always tinkered on things, and I used to do high-end car audio installs and setups, and used to and worked on other things like golf carts that had DC voltage. And that's kind of where I learned about wiring and how to, you know, mess around with those kind of things. And it was real easy. The first Sonar Pros harness in college days was an orange extension cord I caught the ends off of to upgrade the wiring to my graph so they wouldn't dim out when I cranked the motor anymore. That's what kind of kick-started me starting to rig Buddy's boats, you know, and over the years just kind of evolved it. And then one day I realized I could make, you know, some side money off of it because I had a W-2 corporate job and was always looking for ways to make some side money. And started doing installs out of my garage. The first year I did installs out of my personal garage, you know, a bunch of my buddies made the Elite Series. So, like, I rigged Patrick's boat. I rigged Drew Cook's boat, Jake Whitaker's boat, Austin Felix's boat, and put a brand to it. And we just kind of ran with it. And now, you know, we've got a shop of ourselves. I got a shop. I think it's about 2,000-square-foot shop right now. I've got 6 employees. We're working on building a 10,000-square-foot shop now. And we pretty much specialize in high-end installs that not only are clean but done properly to get good pictures, make sure your battery lasts all day. You know, myself, I am very invested in relying on my electronics to catch fish. Because of that, that is transpired into our installs. So things are not only done from an aesthetic perspective but done to be functional for tournament anglers. Our wiring harness was the first one to hit the market, and it is a home run style harness. There's a lot of companies out there making harnesses that are kind of like shared power. The benefit to a home run essentially means that every device has its own individual power and ground. Everything has its own fuse, so there's nothing shared as far as power is concerned. It ensures the graphs run properly, your batteries last long. Most importantly, it's all waterproof connections. We kind of go the extra mile. Our fuse assemblies are waterproof. Our connection process to the graphs is waterproof. You know, we specialize in our harness, installs, electronic sales, you name it, related to a bass boat, we can do it for the most part.
It's awesome, man. And so many guys, no matter the trail, they're running your harness. They bring their boat to you from all over the country. I don't even know, even Justin Atkins. You helped Justin Atkins be able to see fish. And I think that's amazing, the fact that you could do that, you know?
Well, I won't say what it is because I'm going to try to keep it a secret. But that device you installed on your boat.
Yes.
Mr. Yes. Atkins has one now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, here's the deal, bud. I broke mine. Second trip out. I think I told you that. Yeah. I've got to put a new mount on there. I really, the express trailer got the best of me, after trying to put the boat on the trailer in the dark.
Yeah. And fun fact, that thing was pretty vital for me in practice this week.
I can imagine. Yep. And look, it's like everything else. The people listening to this right now, they're going, please say what it is. In about 6 months, it'll be everywhere. People are going to be doing it. But, right now I'm not saying anything.
I mean, if they pay attention to the live feed, they'll see it.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Yeah, it was, I got to use it just for a day or two, and I was pretty freaking blown away, to say the very least, on that deal. Dude, speaking of Austin Felix, and I know you and Austin are buds. Yep. I've known Austin. Holy crap, what happened to him last night with a Chicago bus rear ends him. Like, holy cow, man. Just glad he's okay.
Yeah, he called me last night. He's like, dude, first off, congrats, but he was like, I need you to be on standby tomorrow. And I said, why? He goes, look at your phone. And he sent me pictures of this freaking boat, you know, motor laying on the ground on the highway. Boat got pushed up into the truck. And, I mean, his boat's totaled. And today, testament to the, you know, support crew he has, Phoenix is bringing a boat up to him. And they're swapping everything off of his boat onto that boat today. So he's already, you know, we've already been on texting a bunch back and forth of what should go where and kind of virtually walking him through the install process of where everything is. And it's super unfortunate because, you know, no different than the motor stuff I was dealing with. Something like that can really you know, mess with your head going into a tournament.
Of course.
But, you know,
how could you not let it? How could you not let, you know what I'm saying? And Austin's a pretty even keel guy. And, but for me, I'd just be like, all right, I'm going back to Tennessee. Sorry, Bassmaster. I'm not coming to St. Clair. This is bull crap. I mean, that it was nuts, dude. Yep. A freaking public bus knocked his freaking Optimax in his Pro XS in the road. Crazy.
Yeah, it's not good. And like I said, even though they're swapping everything over this boat, like, and I'm sure you would understand this, it's what I dealt with this week. Like, not fishing in your boat can affect you just as much too. Oh. Like the reason I decided to make the decision to just run out my boat as much as I could is, even though I had friends willing to bring me loaner boats, it wasn't my boat. It wasn't what I was comfortable with. It wasn't what I knew. It wasn't the electronics I have. And just the impact of not having your boat and your setup can be a problem.
Absolutely,
too. But I know, man. Felix is number one. They're going to a smallmouth fishery, so I know he's going to do some damage, but obviously the day before practice, having to do this is not ideal.
No, not ideal in the least, buddy. But just glad he's okay, though, for sure. It's just, golly. So you want to be a Bass Pro. I say that on live all the time. But so you want to be a Bass Pro when you're out there in those big waves, or you're out there trying to diagnose a problem with your engine or your electronics when you're in the middle of it. It's always something. You know, everything we deal with is mechanical for the most part, other than the electronics, and we put them to the test. You guys do at every single event, especially on a Great Lakes event, man. You're gonna push that thing to the rev limiter every single freaking time with every piece of equipment you got. And I don't know, man. It's awesome to see that you overcame all that this week to take the big cardboard check home, the Happy Gilmore check. And really, if we're talking Happy Gilmore, you beat Shooter McGavin. You beat Shooter McGavin. Dealing with your engine was like when the tower fell across Happy's ball when he's trying to putt. Think about that.
100%. I didn't even think about that.
Same.
I'm gonna start calling
Shooter.
Shooter going forward.
I could very much hear him telling the rest of the NPFL guys, this is Shooter's tour. This is Shooter's year.
Yeah,
Shooter's tour. Actually, Shooter is more Todd Goad this year on the NPFL at Progressive
Todd
AOI.
Smashing. Todd is on a freaking roll. Four top tens in a row. I mean, that's awesome.
Unreal. I've known Todd like you have for a very long time, man.
Long time.
And he's a guy that always catches them. He's just a great veteran angler. But, dude, he is putting it all together everywhere we go this year.
He's what I'll call, I've coined it, the W-2 guys. He's one of those guys that, you know, like me for years and several other guys, you know, we've not had the opportunity till the NPFL. I'm not trying to make this sound like some NPFL plug, but it's the honest to God truth. It's giving guys the opportunity to show off their talents. The guys that have W-2 jobs are able to do it now. And like the Todd Goads of the world are a perfect example. The guy's a W-2 guy, you know, he's got a regular job like most people. But he's showing that he can freaking make some money bass fishing, fishing against a really good group of guys too.
No doubt about it, man. It's going to be fun to see it go down the rest of this season. You got Lake Lanier circled, of course. We all do.
Woo!
We're hoping we get to spend some time over Trent Palmer's shoulder there, and I suspect that we will, buddy. Well, dude, look, for the second time today and the third time in 2 days, congratulations. I sincerely appreciate you always being kind to me, helping me out whenever I need electronics advice, and just being a solid dude. And I appreciate you spending time with me, not once but twice today on Low Budget Live.
I appreciate it, Luke.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Yep.
Trent Palmer, everybody. Trent Palmer. Awesome. Awesome guy. Awesome angler. And Sonar Pros, go check him out. That's I have no affiliation there other than he's a good dude. I've ran their harness for the last couple of years, and he's great people right there. Trent Palmer doing things the right way in life. And man, he got redemption over Saginaw Bay. But again, I hate for it to be an NPFL commercial or feel like that, but it's something I am passionate about, and I like talking to the anglers that are so passionate about it as well. Something else I'm passionate about, this show right here, obviously, week in and week out. My commitment to keep bringing you Low Budget Live. the good, the bad, and the ugly in bass fishing and really whatever, the world. Got some things coming up. We're going to might try to do some things different here on the show coming up with a little – it's just a teaser, a lot of different things. I'm running through things in the old mind between these ears, which is scary. That's a scary place to be, trust me, folks. But I appreciate y'all, low-lifers, each and every week tuning in. And, yeah, man, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm going to go hang with my family. I'm going to go get some rest. And I will see y'all next week for more Low Budget Live. I'll take you out with some Biloxi Blues. See y'all. July 31st, Kim A. I turned it off. Sweet. Spanish moss and Civil War ghosts. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name, and I don't care, no, I don't care. And I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
On Mondays, head offshore with Captain Scott Walker and Steve Roger for breathtaking deep sea adventures.
Coming to me, coming to me, coming to me.
Double. He's jumping, he's jumping, he's jumping. Oh!
Oh!
Look at that belly.
Don't miss Mondays with Into the Blue. Brought to you by Academy Sports and Outdoors from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern.
Tell a few fish stories along the way.
On Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.